Turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number one. We've started this series just a few weeks ago. If you've missed any of it, you can get to it on our YouTube channel, or the audio version is on our website. Feel free to do that. And then if you have questions, or you'll also find my sermon outlines up there, but yeah, sometimes I talk real fast. I get excited. And they're up there for you as well, as they're free, just if they're of any use to you. But look at Daniel chapter number one. Now, we have seen Daniel's past in verses 1 and 2, how in 606 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar sacked Jerusalem and took away the gold and the silver and all the precious things from the house of God and put them in the house of his false god, that he would honor his false god with the things of God. And in verses 3 through 7, we see Daniel's present, his current condition at the moment of reading this, and how he was a young man who was the recipient of a generational curse, and how he chose to change things, how he did not just wallow in his grief or in his misery, but stood up, presented himself, and leaned forward intentionally to change that generational curse and to take back that which he had been surrendered to Satan in his life. You can take back the ground. You really can if you'll do it with the Lord. I want to focus your attention today on Daniel's promotion, verse 17. Now, I want to read the odd numbers out loud, but I want you to read the even ones, okay? So grab you a Bible. Daniel's in the Old Testament, just to the right, a dead center after Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel. Or use your phone, it's fine. Look at verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask God, please, that you would make application to our hearts. Lord Jesus, we invite you to speak. Holy Spirit, move among us and change us. And if there's one among us yet that has yet to trust Christ as their personal Savior, we ask God you would convince them of their need and convict them of their sin and their need for Christ. But for us, your children, Father, help us to see the truth of Daniel and what his life embodied. Thank you, Father, for his example, for it's still speaking some 3,000 years later. Now bless us. And Father, whatever needs are represented here, whether it's health, we ask for healing. Or it's finances, we ask God for provision. If it's relationship, Father, we provide. We beg you, God, to bring that which is broken, bring it back and mend it. And Father, give direction to those who need to make decisions today. And we'll praise you for the answer of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard the phrase, every man has his price? Have you ever heard that? I know it's kind of cynical, but still we've all heard it. What that means is what will you sell out for? What's the price of your integrity? What will you compromise what you know to be morally right? What is your price? What is it you will sell out your moral standards of right and wrong? We've all heard stories of Christians who are kind of put on a fake pedestal, kind of touting their character, only to find out that their price was personal gain, where they would compromise Scripture. Maybe they compromised for sexual purity or adultery. Maybe they compromised the gospel so they could make money. That happens. It's happening. Compromise the Word of God to be socially accepted. I don't want to be seen as a hater. Well, I didn't write the book, man. Yeah. I'm just saying. I learned that in Arkansas. That's an Arkansas phrase. Just saying. Many people today say they're Christians, but they don't believe what the Bible says. Sometimes military will move you. It's hard to find a church. And you're going to be presented with some flashy ones that don't quite teach the scriptures, but they're entertaining. And you're going to ask yourself, what's my price here? Some people claim moral convictions regarding sin, but once their children embrace that sin, they become advocates for that. Wait a minute, I'm not the guy who wrote the book. Don't get mad at me. But the Bible does say in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Amen. So what's your price, brothers and sisters? What's your price? Or a scarier thought, what's your kids' price? We've all heard the heartbreaking news of children who are raised in good churches with good godly Bible teaching only to head off to college and live like the devil and turn their back on God's word. What was their price? What will they sell out known truth for? As a parent, what do you want their price to be? Or do you even want them to have a price at all? I mean, seriously. You have to plan. I mean, we're raising kids. Whether you have kids in this church or not, you are an example to the kids in this church. You are a living Bible in shoe leather. And the question is, what price do you want them to have? Do you want them to sell out for sex because they want to be accepted, or peer pressure, or financial gain? Look, the Bible's full of these stories. I mean, Adam compromised God's truth and lost paradise. I mean, Abraham compromised truth and lost peace in the Middle East. Yes, the Middle Eastern crisis has been going on since Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael, and they've been fighting over the birthright ever since. That's where it goes back to. Esau compromised and lost his birthright. Moses compromised and lost the promised land. Samson compromised and lost his eyesight, his strength, and his life. King Saul compromised, kept the sheep and the oxen and lost the throne. David compromised God's righteous standard for marriage and took Bathsheba, lost his child, lost peace in his home. Israel compromised and lost the promised land. Daniel is now living in this world where his ancestors were wicked against God, rebellious against God, and now he is bearing the weight of the repercussions of their sin. Well, the New Testament's no difference. Peter denied Jesus and lost his joy. Judas, betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and lost his soul. Ananias and Sapphira sold themselves out for the praise of the brethren. They wanted everybody to see what great Christians they were. And they lost their lives. Demas forsook the ministry and lost his reward. But, I mean, the lists are endless. But there are some. There are some people who stand out in humanity. They are remembered for unswerving devotion and integrity. They would not compromise the truth of God. They didn't sell out. They had no price. They would not compromise. I mean, Joseph would not compromise and sleep with Potiphar's wife. Moses forsook the wealth of Egypt to be reckoned with his own people. David in the cave had a chance to kill Saul, and nobody would have blamed. But he chose God. Paul, before Festus, Felix, and King Agrippa, wouldn't sell out. Before Nero, and it cost him his head. The three Hebrew children in Daniel 3 is going to stand before Nebuchadnezzar in the fiery furnace. And they won't have a price. Now remember, as we're reading through verses 3 through 7, Nebuchadnezzar wanted these young men brought in, and for the fact that they were already being taught how to read by their parents and whatever, because if you had money, you paid for tutoring. But he wanted to brainwash them. He wanted to change their physical bodies, and he did. He made them eunuchs. He wanted to change their name and identity, which he did right here in verse 5. And he wanted to change their lifestyle by the food they ate. They were going to change their knowledge base right here where it says that they'll be taught in all the ways of the Chaldeans so that they could serve the pagan. That's why they're there. Does that sound familiar to today? I mean, the Old Testament had nothing negative to say about learning foreign languages or foreign knowledge. So the Old Testament didn't have anything bad to say about even changing your name. But Daniel drew the line because the Old Testament did say you're not to eat that which is unclean or improperly prepared. So let me ask you a question. I mean, it's right here, verse number 8. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Where do you draw the line, brothers and sisters? Where's the line that you don't think you're going to cross or you hope you'll never cross? What about your kids? Where's the line for them? I mean, they're in a good church right now. They're learning good, godly, spiritual doctrines. But after the world has changed and offered them a new identity and new information and a new lifestyle, where are they going to draw the line? Where is the line going to be? See, all this is based on our character. Whether it's good character or bad character, godly character or carnal character, it's based on our character. These are based on our decisions. See, Daniel had everything going for him. Look at, you say, what? Look at verse 4. Verse 3 says, the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he would bring in certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Children, now look at verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish. That means Daniel and his friends were good looking. They were physically attractive, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. So they were gifted. Academically, they were gifted. They were smart kids. I mean, I never did pass chemistry, Brother Mike. I took chemistry 3 semesters, got a D in each one of them. I passed with a D because of extra credit. I never could understand chemistry. Daniel had everything going for him outwardly. Daniel didn't rely on all those giftings. He had a depth of character that few people had. How did he get that way? Well, characters develop daily in the decisions we make. The decisions we make on how we're going to live. Now, the historians tell us that there's roughly 65 to 70 young men were taken captive at this time when Nebuchadnezzar overthrew Jerusalem. But only these 4 boys are mentioned out of the group. Nebuchadnezzar only found these 4 boys to be outstanding. Chapter 1 verse number 19, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That means the other 60 to 65 bought into the heathen pagan identity, the heathen lifestyle, and the heathen value system. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that you are meant for greatness or for something greater than just worldly success? I mean, worldly success is nice. There's a difference between the Ritz-Carlton and the Motel 6. Can I get an amen? Right? And nice things are not sinful. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. I wish you all made $1 million a year in tithe. That'd be just fantastic. But that's not necessarily sinful. I'm talking about purpose. I'm talking about destiny. I'm talking about, do you believe that your children are meant for something greater than just worldly wisdom, wealth, and success? How do you get a Daniel? How do you become a Daniel? For those of you in here who are adults, how do you become a Daniel? Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think character is? How many of you had a bully in high school? Knew of a bully in high school? Okay, if you're not raising your hand, that's probably because you were the bully. Just saying, right? But think back now. You think back to somebody in high school who was a bully. And you know what's crazy about this? It doesn't matter where you came from. What your race, nationality, what country you were raised in. There's jerks everywhere. Right? Right? Why? Because men are sinful. We're sinners. But these were probably people who were physically gifted, strong, handsome, mean girls, right? Developed early. They're beautiful. Everybody's chasing them around, but they're mean. When you think of them, I want you to think of them for just a second. Think of that person. That feeling that you got right now, that's because of their character. The peculiar qualities of that person that has distinguished them from all the other people you went to school with was their character. Whether it was good character or bad character, the peculiar qualities or habits of that person distinguished them. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 11 that even a child is known by his doing, whether they be good, pure, or whether they be right. And Daniel had good character. Now remember, last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how that Daniel was given a generational curse. His father was wicked and rebellious against God. His granddaddy was wicked and rebellious against God. And his great-granddaddy was wicked and rebellious against God. And Daniel stood up and said, no more. I'm done. I'm choosing different. I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. And I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to cowboy up and present myself to God. And he did that, and he leaned in. He stood up and leaned in. And he took back the ground, his family. He had surrendered to Satan and said, listen, I'm not going to live like that. Character. Here's a good definition. Character is how we treat somebody who can do nothing for us. Character is how we act when no one's looking. And everything in this life is a test of your character. So who are you as a Christian? Are you honest? Are you teachable? Are you humble? Are you hospitable? There are 49 godly character qualities listed in the Bible. There's also 49 sinful character qualities in the Bible. So who would your spouse say you are as a Christian? Who would your children say you are as a Christian? What are you training your kids to be? What are you training their character? I didn't ask what their talents were. I ask you what their character is, because we all know a lot of talented criminals. Gifted, academically strong criminals. So what kind of person are you training them to be, whether intentionally or whether unintentionally, you are training them. So what kind of person are you training them to be? We have to train godly character. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Now in the Hebrew, I understand that means according to their bent or according to their gifts and talents, but you still have to train them. That's on purpose. That's intentional. See, you have to intentionally train character qualities. Well, how do you do that? Well, you praise character, good character, not talent. Two or three of my boys were gifted, and I said to them, one of these days your talent's going to fail you because you can only climb so high. And then after that, it's all character on how high you climb in this life. When you praise character, well, that was good diligence. That was good. You know, you did a good job. You worked hard. You worked hard. Way to follow through. Way to be honest. Way to be diligent. Way to be faithful. Because what gets rewarded gets repeated. What are you praising your kids for? See, you don't get a Daniel by accident. And brothers and sisters, you don't become a Daniel by accident. We once knew this kind of uncompromising life in our country. Our founding fathers of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the overwhelming majority of them lost everything to found this nation. I found the West Point Cadet Prayer. We have some West Point graduates in our church. And it says something like this. I it's long, so I just grabbed a piece of it. And it says, strengthen and increase our admiration for honest dealings and clean thinking. And suffer not our hatred of hypocrisy and pretense to ever diminish. Encourage us in our endeavor to live above the common level of life. Make us choose the harder right instead of the easy or wrong. And never to be content with half truth when whole truth can be won. Do you want your children to be a Daniel? Do you want to be a Daniel? We spend a lot of time training our kids in physical talent. We spend a lot of time putting effort into academic talent. But I'm telling you right now, physical talent and academics is not going to keep your kid off drugs or out of jail or off porn or anything else. Character determines our life outcome, and it's learned. It's what we learn every single day by our decisions. Now, good character will protect your children. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Godly character will prepare you. It'll prepare the kids for adulthood. It said train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, He'll not depart from it. Godly character preserves your relationships with God, with your spouse, with your friends. Same thing with your kids. Godly character propels kids to success. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, 29, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business?" Diligence is a character quality. "He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." And parents, you are the greatest influence on your kids. Church member, you are an influence on everybody else's kid that comes to this church. You are an influence. Whether you think so or not, you are not an island. We are members one another, the Bible says. So let me ask you a question. How are you training yourself? Because character is taught, yes, it's trained, but it's mostly caught. See, our children will never become what we tell them. They become what we are. It's caught. We model it in front of them. And see, Daniel's character is what made him successful. And from Daniel's character, we see what we call Daniel moments. Moments where that you could sum up where Daniel said, "I will not." He drew a line and said, "I will not cross here. That's it. I'll go no farther than right here." He decided for himself. Look at verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He declared it for himself. Look, it says, "Therefore, he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." We need to have "I will not" moments. Put parentheses there. I know air quotes bother people. But are there lines you won't cross? Where did those lines come from? How did they get set? How do you define them? Well, take your Bible and turn to 1 John, all the way in the back of the book. 1 John, just before you get to Revelation, you find 1, 2, 3 John. Look for number 1 John, chapter 2, and verse 3. God's word defines where the boundaries are. Look what it says, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. "And hereby we do know that we know him." Here's how you know you're born again: if we keep his commandments. Okay, I need you to extrapolate from that for just a second. Because we all know people who say they're Christians, but they don't keep his commandments. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is confused, has a weakness, is just needing help, therapy. No, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him." I refer to it, and this is, I'm going to let you behind the curtain a minute as a pastor. This is what I call games people play. You might have heard it as somebody saying, "Well, whatever helps you sleep at night." Because they're not lying to me. They're lying to themselves. It's called a self-fulfilling con. People say they're believers. People say that, "I know Jesus." Yeah, but it hasn't made a difference. It's like me saying I knew Elvis. You know? I don't live at Graceland. You know, I didn't change me. Hey, I didn't write the book. And he said, "He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word." Nobody's perfect. I get that. I'm not perfect. You hang out with me for 24 hours, I'm going to let you down. "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." We know we're in him. Because why? We want to keep it. We fail, but we want to. "He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." We should embody Jesus' character. See, when we make excuses for our rebellion, we mock God. We mock him. Like I know what the Bible says, but. Now, my daddy always said, everything before the but is a lie, is untrue. "I love you, but. You know, I appreciate your help, but." Does any of that sound? Yeah, you've heard that at work, haven't you? Everything before the but is garbage. "You know, I appreciate your work." No, you don't. No, you don't. Right? See, we as adults, we should embody Christ's character. That means there's going to be times when we will say, I will not. No, thank you. I'm not crossing those lines. And if we're going to raise kids, see, God only loaned those kids to us. He expects them back as servants of God. We need them to come to a character, a place in their character development where they know where the line is, and they go, nope, no thank you. I will not. Daniel actually, go back to Daniel 1. Daniel, in his own decision and character development, inspired other people. Look at verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king. I'm afraid of what the king will do, who appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces? Is that because Daniel's like me and he's got multiple chins on the front and the back? Okay, that's a joke you'll get at lunch. You'll get that at lunch. No, Daniel inspired the other three Hebrew children to follow him and to embody the same character. Let me ask you a question. Daniel was God's man of purpose in this pagan hour. Have you had those Daniel 1:8 moments where you're like, no, I'm not going to cross that line? Are you inspiring other people to have that Daniel 1:8 moment? Who are you bringing along with you in your character development? Are you God's man or woman of purpose in this pagan hour? See, now Daniel character leads to Daniel moments. And Daniel moments lead to what I call Daniel truths. We live in a similar wicked world. We did not create this mess. But the question is, what's our choice going to be? Are we going to rise above our surroundings? Are we going to rise above society's peer pressure? Or are we going to go along to get along? Are you going to rise above the baggage you brought into this adulthood that you brought from childhood? Or are you going to continue to make excuses for your rebellion? I mean, seriously, we all have to one day man up and go, okay, it's my responsibility now. What are we training our kids to do? To follow society? To follow peer pressure? Or to follow Scripture? See, Daniel moments lead to Daniel truths. So let me help you. The first truth we see from Daniel is that obedience always precedes blessing. That obeying God's word by faith always happens first, and then the blessings of God comes later. Amen. That's a truth. But if you don't have the character to have those moments will never be realized as the blessing. Look at verse number 15. It says, and at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, you and I both know it takes more than 10 days to break a habit or to change something. That was God working in them. See, Daniel stepped out by faith because he knew that his faith honored God, and God would in turn honor his faith. They were fairer and fatter in flesh. Like Moses and Joseph, Daniel was blessed for his faithfulness. Look at verse 17. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. They received the blessing from God because by faith, Daniel character, the godly character, led to moments where instead of defiling himself and going along to get along, he honored God by obeying God's word. And God in turn honored him with a blessing, with favor. Daniel was trained in the palace school, verses 18 to 20, and God blessed Daniel's faithfulness. Listen, don't tell me about your faith. Why don't you show me your faith? James chapter 2 and verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. My faith should be in my daily decisions. It should be embodied in my daily character. It should come out in the choices I make, the words I say, and the things I do. Amen. You have to stop looking back at your mistakes. Yeah. You cannot fix the past. You can only fix now. All right, so life didn't go the way you thought it was going to go. I understand, and it hurt. You were betrayed. You were done dirty. You're being done dirty right now. All you can deal with is what you do with it. Daniel moments lead us to discover Daniel's truth. The first one is obedience always precedes blessings. The second truth is faithfulness, which is obedience over time, always precedes promotion. That as you obey faithfully over time, God will promote you. So for his glory, look at verse number 19. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Do you understand? That means these four, because of their character, decided they were going to not cross the line of God's word and obey God's word. And they obeyed God's word in faith, expecting God to honor their faith. And God did. And God blessed them with abilities and position. And then in turn, God promoted them for his glory. Where's the other 65 young Hebrew boys? No, they bought into the pagan lifestyle. They bought into the pagan identity. They bought into the pagan value system, and they're not near as good as these. You need to press forward in obedience. We can live an uncompromising life by not compromising the Word of God as our standard of truth. Daniel's character led to Daniel moments, the I will nots or the I wills. Expressed as obedience. Daniel moments is obedience expressed in our daily life. So, truth number one, obedience first, then God brings the blessing. Faithfulness is obedience over time, then God promotes. Number three, when we live an uncompromising life according to the Word of God, it leads to God's preservation of us. Look at verse 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Godly character will preserve you. Daniel served in the government for 60 years during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. 4 separate kings, 2 separate empires, and Daniel saw the end of the 70 years of captivity just as the Bible promised. Because Daniel's character led to Daniel's moments, and Daniel's moments led to realizing the Daniel truth. That obedience precedes blessing, that faithfulness precedes promotion, and an uncompromising life leads to God's preservation. Now listen, I get it. You may not ever get a chance to influence someone at Nebuchadnezzar's level, but you most definitely can impact the lives of your kids and your spouse and your church and your community. You don't get a Daniel by accident, and you dead sure don't become a Daniel by accident. You must intentionally, on purpose, live God's word, those 49 character qualities, and you must intentionally train those 49 character qualities into your children. Do you want to be a Daniel? You can start today. There's got to be a line somewhere. Don't let society set those lines. Let God set them in his word. Remember, when you hold God to his word, God follows through by honoring you. And that's what Daniel did. Opportunities like these, the ones you're getting now, the opportunities to make a decision for the Lord, determines your outcome. See, if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? I mean, what are you basing that on? Mrs. Mix and I just celebrated 34 years of marriage. I remember the first day I saw her. I remember where I was, and I remember how I felt. And I couldn't take my eyes off her. I remember. Can you remember when you met Jesus? I mean, can you remember where you were when you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know where you were? You may not remember the day. I don't remember the exact date. It was June of 1987. Yes, 1987. Risky. Woo! I don't remember exact date, but I remember the month and the year. Do you remember where you were when you trusted Christ as your Savior? See, this is where it starts. You say, well, I believe I'm saved, but I can't. Listen, you need to put a stake in the ground. Just put a stake in the ground because the devil's going to play with you. And you want the devil to, you want to be able to look at the devil and go, get lost. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I remember where I was awake and sober. You need to be able to, you need to know that you know that you know. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, and this is the proof that we know him. What is that? What is the proof that we know him? That we keep his commandments, because it starts with salvation. Number two, do you belong to God or don't you? You got to ask yourself that. Daniel was the first in his group of 70 to stand up and go, listen, I belong to God. And this is a line God put in the ground and said, don't cross it. In so doing, he did inspire the other three Hebrew children, but it was just Daniel at that moment who stood alone. Now, praise God, three other brothers stirred in their soul and were inspired by him and stood with him. But the other 66 boys are lost to history. Never faced a furnace. Never faced the lion's den. Never had to have that Daniel moment because they compromised back there. Maybe you're wondering, why doesn't God do more with me? Why doesn't God bless me? Why doesn't God come through for me? I've been praying for this. I've been asking for this. Why don't you ask God to reveal to you where you need to step back on the other side of the line and go, you know what, God, from now on, I can't help what happened back there, but from now on, God, I'm on your side of this thing, and your scripture paints the line. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Daniel character leads to Daniel moments that lead to Daniel blessings and Daniel truths. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you at that point to step out and come forward and let me take my Bible. I'll sit on this front pew and I'll show you how to trust Jesus. But you're here today and right now your life is in a spin. You need God. You need God. Step out. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. That's the promise. Take a step out and say, God, it's me. I'm here. I need you. I don't understand, and I certainly don't know what to do, but I know you do, so God, please. And watch what happens. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, in the next few moments, I ask you to speak to every heart and every soul. I ask God, please, we as your people who know are called by your name, who know we're saved, Father, let us be the people who embody your character. Let us be a Daniel. Show us, God, the areas of our life where we are inched across the line you've drawn in the sand. Father, help us to come back on your side. And as Moses cried, who's on the Lord's side? Father, today cry out to every heart and soul, who's on the Lord's side? Father, may we step back. And Father, may you bless us. And may that blessing spill over into the testimony to the next generation. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar's open. Maybe you've got a decision to make on your career. Come, talk to the Lord. Maybe you've got a health issue. Come, pray and seek the Lord. I'll pray with you if you want. Come seek the Lord. Come seek him, and he will be found.
Are you hurting and broken?
That's right. I need you.
Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you hurting and broken? Within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus, some are getting deliverance today. How about you? God is the one that moves the mountains.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born.
If you died today, are you
Jesus
sure you'd go to heaven? What are you putting your faith and trust in? Is it a baptism? Is it a church membership? Is it a catechism or a communion? What is it you're putting your faith and trust in? Is it, it needs to be in the blood of Christ and what he did on the cross that saves us.
Was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Father's arms are open. forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood.
Our Father and our God, we love you. And Father, today we're excited for this opportunity to be in your house. Father, develop in us the character of Daniel. Let us have those moments where we stand for you and your character is embodied in us. And Father, that others would be inspired by it, that they'll see how our obedience over time has brought a promotion and a blessing and a preservation that cannot be explained in any other way than you and your grace. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Look this way.